ears will be open to hear your word, and their hearts also open to receive your word. Your word is a life changer, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for the honor of ministering your word. And I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Say amen with me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to take you back. Let's go back again to the book of Colossians. First chapter. And I've been ministering to you over the past few weeks concerning the power of our salvation. If it's one thing that God wants us to know, it is what he has done for us and what's available to us. Amen. So are your ears open?
Amen.
Is your heart open?
Amen.
All right. You have Colossians chapter 1. I told you chapter 1, right?
Yes.
Okay. I want to begin reading, and I've read this before, at verse 12. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. I want to read that again, beginning at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. There is an inheritance that God has for us. And if you are born again, you are qualified to walk it out and to enjoy all that God has done for us through Christ Jesus. Are you still here? And then he goes on to tell us, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Oh, how people need to get a revelation of that. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you act. It'll change the way you think. Many of us, day after day after day, we're constantly talking about all of our problems, what we don't have, what we can't do. And much of the time, we're blaming somebody else other than the devil that's stealing from you. It's the devil that's trying to steal your joy. It's the devil that's trying to steal your finances. It's the devil that's trying to steal your health. It's the devil that's trying to tear up your family. Now, most of you know this, but some of you may not. So you don't necessarily have to turn there unless you want to. But John chapter 10, verse 10. Please put it on the screen for me. Hallelujah. John 10, 10, please. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. You see, Jesus is speaking here. Like I said, I'm not going to turn over there because I have some other things I want to cover. But this is what Jesus said. The thief, and let me identify who the thief is. You know who the thief is, don't you? Why don't you tell me? It's the devil. All right? It's the devil. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, let me read that again so you get it on the inside of you. Get it on the inside of you. The thief does not come except to steal. If the devil's messing with you, he's trying to steal something from you. He's trying to kill you. Or he's trying to destroy. In other words, he wants to make your life miserable. Or you're still here. And he loves it when you're blaming on God. He loves for you to blame God because that takes the attention off of him. He can continue in the background to make your life miserable. But let me tell you, whatever it is you may be dealing with, there is a root cause. And there's someone in the background, because the Bible, and I'm going to finish verse 10. The Bible tells us that God is good. Did you hear me? The Bible says, and I believe the Bible says God is good. And the Bible says good and perfect gifts come from the Lord God. Get it out of your head that God is trying to hurt you, that God is trying to steal from you. Now, yes, we can get in trouble because of disobedience and we open the doors for the devil to come in. But let me finish. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come. Don't you ever forget this. Jesus said, I have come that they, say that means me. I have come that they may have what?
Life.
And that they may have it what? More abundantly. Those are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Earlier, Minister Streeter read Luke 6:38, where Jesus said, give. And it would be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, would men, everybody say men.
Amen.
That's mankind. It could be a female, but or male, but men give unto your bosom. For what measure you give, it will be given back to you. Now, Jesus said that. The same Jesus that said he'd come that we might have life and have it more abundantly in John chapter 10, verse 10, also said that if we give, it'd be given back to us in Luke 6:38. What am I saying? Sometimes folks say, well, yeah, I know Jesus said that that we have life and have it more abundantly. He's just talking about spiritual life. God wants to be a vital part of our life and our everyday affairs while we are here on the earth. God doesn't say you get yourself saved, you get born again, and now your life gonna be miserable until you get to heaven. No. Let me tell you something. Jesus is a part of your life every second of your life. That's the reason he tells us to stand on his word. That's the reason he tells us to pray. That's the reason he tells us to speak his word after him, so that we can change some things right here in the earth. We're told to lay hands on the sick and they shall what?
Recover.
Well, why lay hands on anybody if it's not so? Why lay hands on anybody if it's not God's will for them to be well? But Pastor, you just don't understand. I'm dealing with this, and I've had 100 hands laid on me, and I'm still the same. Well, first of all, you know, here's something else the Bible tells us, and I'm going to move on. The Bible tells us in the book of James, if any lack wisdom, because sometimes we're dealing with things that we're dealing with because of some things that we are doing or not doing. You hear? If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. And it goes on to say, but let him ask in faith and not doubting. Why tell me that if I can't have it? That's just like this brother right here. I'm picking on you because you're close one to me. You're on front row. Glad you're there. But that's just like this brother pulling out $200 or $300 bills and waving in front of my face, say, here, Pastor, and hands it to me. And I go to reach for it, and then he snatches it back and laughs and put it in the pocket. Just kidding, picking at you. God doesn't do that. God doesn't tell us, this is what I've done for you, this is what I want for you, and then when you reach out for it, he laughs and says, ha ha, just kidding. God doesn't operate that way. God doesn't operate that way. God is a good God. And the Bible study that I used to be in a part of when I was in the service, we used to sing a song, say, God is a good God. Yes, he is. God is a good God. Yes, he is. Because he is. Hallelujah. But Pastor, why this and why that? And I believe you, Pastor. I believe that God is a good God, but why am I having to deal with this and I'm having to deal with that and we're having family problems and all this and all that? The thief. It's the thief trying to come in and destroy. trying to steal your happiness, trying to tempt you to do something that you know you shouldn't do. There are folks that are divorced today, no longer together, because one of them, or both, in some cases, were unfaithful in their marriage. So it destroyed their marriage. You know what? Somebody followed the lust of their flesh. The devil presented an opportunity that looked good, smelled good, talked good, was just the right height, filled out in their minds in all the right places, and they fell for it. Now they're single again. That's not God's will. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all still here? Oh, glory. So let me read this again, and I'm going to move on. I think. Verse 12 again. This is Colossians 1. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We have an inheritance. Amen. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Somebody say amen. And he conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen. In whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. What? The forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The forgiveness of sins. Now, I'm so glad I'm forgiven. How about you? I'm so glad that God does not hold my past against me. Are you still here? If you are born again, you are forgiven. God is not holding your past against you. Now, some folk may be. God chooses to forgive and forget. People don't. But we got to know that I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm not the same person I was before Christ. I am forgiven. So if we're forgiven, guess what? We're supposed to act like we're forgiven. Hallelujah. This is hitting home with some folks. Turn in your Bible, and we've been here before, but I want to go again to the 103rd Psalm. Psalm 103. And you need to underline these verses in your Bible. I'm going to read them to you. If you haven't already, look at verse 10. He is God, by the way. Verse 10, Psalm 103, verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Oh, thank God for that. I said, thank God for that. Are you ready for this? For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great, everybody say great. So great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And some of you have heard me say this many times before, but wonder why God said east from the west rather than north from the south. It doesn't say God has removed our sins from us as far as the north is from the south. No, it says as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. And some of you know the answer to that. If we start out right now on the globe going north, after a while we're going to reach a point where we're no longer going north, we're going south. And when you go south to a point, then you're no longer going south, you're going north. But if you go east, you'll always be going east. You may cover the same ground after you circle the globe, but you're still going east. Or if you go west, you'll always be going west. What is God saying is, when we give our lives to the Lord, repent of our sins, and he forgive us of our sins, you're not going to find them again. Because they have been separated from you, separated from us, as far as the east is from the west. If your sins are at the North Pole, so to speak, you circle the globe, you're going to see them again because you're going to wind up back at the North Pole. But if you go east, you're continuously going east. There's no change of direction. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. Oh, I'm so glad about that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're in Psalms, right? Just flip over to, let me see where I want to go here, the 107th Psalm. Psalm 107. There's something that we need to do. I'm going to read it in a minute, just a moment. Something we need to do. How many of you have a mouth? Some of you are looking at me strange. Either you didn't hear my question or you can't believe I asked that question. So my question is, how many of you have a mouth? Now, if you didn't raise your hand, please come up for prayer before we go home, because that should have been unanimous. How many of you, and I'm making a point here, so just stay with me. How many of you have a tongue in your mouth? All right. Amen. It's getting better. How many of you know the purpose of your mouth? It has more than one purpose. And let me name one of them right away, because that's probably eating. Yeah, some of you really like that, you know, eating. But that's not the only reason you have a mouth. Your mouth is also used for speaking. Words are formed and come forth from your mouth. Matter of fact, God himself used his mouth in creation. God said, "Let there be," and there was. Matter of fact, God said, "Let there be light." And light came. Stay with me on this. God gave you and me a mouth that we may speak words. Words. James talks about the tongue in the book of James, how it can be a blessing and how it can be desperately wicked. The tongue, the mouth, can cause destruction. Amen. But on the other hand, it can build you up. Matter of fact, as believers, Christians, we should use our mouths to encourage one another. And even if we have to correct one another, we are to do it in love. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We are to do it in love. So God gave us our mouth to build up, to be a blessing to others. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
But that's not all. Your mouth is to be a blessing to you, your own mouth. Some folks say terrible things about themselves. You shouldn't do that. Why did I take you there? Well, do you have Psalm 107 yet? Look at this. Look at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Now, how do you do that? How? With your mouth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Remember, we said that earlier. God is good. For his mercy endures forever. I'm glad about that. But now look at verse 2. Put verse 2 on. Oh, okay. You have it up there. Just look up here for a moment. And I want you to read this. I'm going to count to 3, and I want you to read it out loud, okay? Amen. 1, 2, 3. Now, let's do this again, but I want you to do it a little louder. I can hear okay, but I think you can do it a little louder. 1, 2, 3.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
Now, can I ask you a question? Who is he talking to? Me, us, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, how are you going to say so? With your mouth. With your mouth. With your mouth. By forming words. With your mouth. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why do we need to say so? Because the thief is coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and try to make your life miserable. But you must remind yourself, all of us do, that we have been redeemed. We've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. It's good when other folks encourage us. But it's better when you encourage yourself. Because sometimes other folks fall short. You may be looking for encouragement from them and it's not coming. But you got to take on the attitude that David took on when he went somewhere he didn't necessarily had to go, but he we won't go there today, but he lost his family and all of his men's family, and they were captured, and they got back to camp, and all their loved ones were gone. And his men turned against him, ready to kill him. Now, that's a tough spot to be in. When everybody hates you. When nobody can stand you. They used to love you until you messed up. Now they can't stand to look at you. But what do you do? Well, you are redeemed. You're born again. And the word of God say, let the redeemed say so. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't say, all right, man, I messed up. I lost my family just like you lost yours. And I just can't stand myself. And so guys, pull out the swords and let me have it. I don't deserve to live. That's not what he did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And by, listen to this, by encouraging himself in the Lord, he opened the door where God could move. Where God could move. I can imagine, this is just my imagination, but I can imagine the father looking at the son and say, look at him, look at him, look at him, look at him. Oh, we gotta help him. Hallelujah. And help him, God did. God opened some doors. God made some things to happen. God caused him to come across the right person at the right time. Even the person that they met was having a tough time in their own life. But God caused them, their paths to cross, and he had the answer that David needed. Bible tells us they recovered all. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. That means that he had to say something. He had to remind himself who he was. We need to remind ourselves who we are. We are redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If we are redeemed, we need to talk like it. If we are redeemed, we need to act like it. Amen. Because we have been delivered out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we are children of light. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not going to get too far. I want to take you to one other scripture reference, and we'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Oh, glory to God. Is this blessing you? Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We are to be constantly reminded our sins are forgiven. I don't belong to the devil anymore. I'm God's property.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23, you've heard me read these. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this for what reason? In remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant or New Testament, however you want to say it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it. Why? In remembrance of me. Verse 26, and this is the last verse. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. When we take the bread and we eat it, we are reminded that Jesus gave his body for us. We are reminded that by his stripes we were healed. Are you still here? We are to remember that. And when we take the cup and we drink the cup, we are remembering that Jesus shed his blood for us on the cross. We are to remember that our sins are forgiven. We are to remember that we are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. As often as you eat it, as often as you drink it, you are to do it in remembrance of me, remembering that we've been redeemed. We are remembering that we've been redeemed, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And when we take communion, we're thanking God that by his stripes we were healed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When we take the cup and we drink from the cup, we're remembering that our sins have been washed away. They have been separated from us as far as the east is from the west. We're remembering, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, what a great salvation that God has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Will you lift your hands and give him thanks? Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, bless your name, Father. Thank you, Father. And I want to speak to our viewing audience, those that are watching the service. Jesus died for you too. If you are not born again,